Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 37. The Mystery of the Indwelling Christ, Guarding the Christ. Scriptures. The highway of the straight is to turn away from evil. He who guards his life watches over his way. Before destruction comes pride, and before a fall, a haughty spirit. Better to be lowly in spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16, verses 17 to 19 from the Scriptures, ISR 1998. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out of their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 25-31. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Matthew 5, 8. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, verses 20-21. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 22-25. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 3, verses 18-24. But thanks be to Elohim, who always leads us on, to overcome in Messiah, and manifests through us the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, because we are to Elohim the fragrance of Messiah among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death to death, and to the other, the fragrance of life to life. And who is competent for these? For we are not, as so many, adulterating the word of Elohim for gain, but as of sincerity, but as from Elohim, in the sight of Elohim, we speak in Messiah. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 17, the Scriptures, ISR 1998. God himself was pleased to live fully in his Son, and God was pleased for him to make peace by sacrificing his blood on the cross, so that all beings in heaven and on earth would be brought back to God. You used to be far from God. Your thoughts made you his enemies, and you did evil things. But his Son became a human and died, so God made peace with you, and now he lets you stand in his presence as people who are holy and faultless and innocent. But you must stay deeply rooted and firm in your faith. You must not give up the hope you received when you heard the good news. It was preached to everyone on earth, and I myself have become a servant of this message. I am glad that I can suffer for you. I am pleased also that in my own body I can continue the suffering of Christ for his body, the church. God's plan was to make me a servant of his church and to send me to preach his complete message to you. For ages and ages, this message was kept secret from everyone, but now it has been explained to God's people. God did this because he wanted you Gentiles to understand his wonderful and glorious mystery. And the mystery is that Christ lives in you, and he is your hope of sharing in God's glory. We announce the message about Christ, and we use all our wisdom to warn and teach everyone, so that all of Christ's followers will grow and become mature. That's why I work so hard and use the mighty power he gives me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 29, Contemporary English Version. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who prophesied to these, saying, Behold, the Lord came with myriads of his saints to do judgment against all and to rebuke all the ungodly of them concerning all their ungodly works, which they ungodly did, and concerning all the hard things ungodly sinners spoke against him. These are murmurers, complainers, leading lives according to their lusts. And their mouth speaks proud things, admiring faces for the sake of gain. But you, beloved, remember the words spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, because they told you at the last time there would be mockers according to their lusts, leading ungodly lives. These are those setting themselves apart, animal-like ones, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, eagerly waiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to everlasting life. Jude chapter 1, verses 14 to 21, Modern King James Version. Let not anyone deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come unless there first comes a falling away, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, setting himself forth that he is God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? And now you know what holds back for him to be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working, only he is now holding back until it comes out of the midst. And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the breath of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, so that all those who do not believe the truth, but delight in unrighteousness, might be condemned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to verse 12, Modern King James Version. End Scriptures. 3 Visions. First Vision. Then from this higher place I could see the earth, and the nations of men in it, and amongst the nations two great beasts, having many heads and horns and golden crowns. These beasts were consuming men, devouring them, filling their jaws and their teeth with their blood, and feeding upon their flesh in such a way as to devour mankind relentlessly. There were some men who did not have faith, and some who did have faith. Some who had faith that the Lord was God, but they were no longer discerning that the Lord was God. Some had faith in false gods, and some did not believe in the existence of God. These beasts fed freely amongst all of these. They were not restrained at all in gorging themselves upon the bodies of mankind. The beasts were held fast to the earth, but above them was a great and a terrible red dragon, who gave his will and his power unto these two beasts who consumed men off the earth. And just pausing there and going over this again as to the groups. So there were some men who did not have faith, and some men who did have faith. Some who had faith that the Lord was God, but they were no longer discerning that the Lord was God. Some had faith in false gods, and some did not believe in the existence of God. Those are the ones that the beasts and the dragon are feeding on. Carrying on with the vision. The nations who were thus consumed followed hard after the beasts and worshipped them, calling the beasts their gods and their lords, and they gave praise and honor and glory to them continually, thinking that these beasts were the Lord and his power, but they did not discern that these were fearsome beasts who had come to destroy their lives and to consume their bodies. Entire nations followed the perdition that these beasts gave them, thinking that the perdition they followed was the perfect will of the Lord. Their minds were totally blinded by this and by the delusion they abode in. No man could discern the truth of these beasts, which ate their flesh and consumed and destroyed them completely. I saw that this vision was not for a future time, but it is indeed a present reality, even at this time in the world of men. End First Vision. Second Vision. As soon as the beasts had finished devouring the lives of men and nations, I saw the nations assembled together as though they had no hurt upon them. The time came where they were gathered, each one to their own place and their own time, and above them the dragon, which had given its power unto the beasts, was not found, nor was his influence felt by the nations gathered now together. This gathering was rather sudden in the world of men. It was an unexpected event, a gathering of mankind for a single purpose. For they were gathered together to have upon them the judgment of the Lord poured out upon their heads to now consume them. But this time, not by the beasts of delusion, but by the Lord himself who did this judgment. As the Lord poured forth his judgment upon the nations, their faces did all look up together unto the Lord, and the light of his salvation lighted upon them all, each face was lightened with the salvation of the Lord for the new age, which was even at the same time dawning upon the earth, the age of the kingdom of God. Each nation and person who was once consumed by these beasts was now consumed in the judgment of the Lord, and each one who was thus consumed entered with great joy into the kingdom of God. This kingdom was brought unto the earth by the Lord himself, who did this great and mighty work of judgment. As they were judged, their faces were lighted by the brilliance of his glory, and the sunshine of a new day rose upon them, and they were lighted. Great joy filled the nations, as his dominion had come, and their release from bondage to the beasts had become a reality. Christ was seen, and all mankind entered into the new millennium which had come to the earth. End second vision. Third vision. Then the overcomers who had been cast off by their brethren were seen as ones who had guarded the Christ in their hearts, as ones who jealously protected Jesus in them. They stood in a transfiguration happened. They took on the appearance suddenly of those who had become glorified. Their bodies and their persons changed in like fashion as Jesus' body when the Father animated it from being dead to rise in eternal life. These came forward into the nations of the earth, presenting the Christ unto all men who dwelt in the world and who were now lighted upon with the light of his brilliant glory. For the Lord purposed that Christ would be seen in this faithful remnant, and then known as men would know the Lord. So Christ would be known and seen in completion upon these faithful few who remained for this very time. This is about to take place in the world of men, even to those who have been cast aside. Isaiah 66:5. End vision and three visions. The overcomers have arrived at a point preordained of the Father since the foundation of the world. This point is that faith alone keeps them, nothing else. They do not relate to the thoughts of their minds as it beholds the world around them, nor do they relate to the uncertainty of emotion during the shaking influences that are happening in every area of the earth. The abundance of wars and the threat of economic collapse, the problems of pollution and the many conspiracy theories associated with that all fail to influence the overcomer. In their lives, they know that the crunch of food shortages, rising fuel costs, protests, and distress of nations won't influence or change their faith. They are living in the solitude of faith alone. Nothing else in them is as holy as the faith they carry and as Jesus whom they bear about in their hearts and now guard as to his very person. The overcomers at this time will guard the Lord in them, and they will not allow themselves to be defiled by all the influences that are all around them in the world. They will not allow themselves to be dissuaded from their appointed walk by the myriads of false gospels, signs, and wonders which take on the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They care not if the ministry they see in the world has enough power to even raise the dead. It does not turn them, nor does it influence them. They are fixed on a simple faith. They know that they hold in their hearts the risen Jesus, whom they love and desire to manifest. It is that faith that keeps them through all they are enduring at this time. The true overcomer does not claim that it is all now in their faith, that now they have the full measure of the kingdom of God, the full manifestation of Christ in them. They know that they are still in the daily trial of separation of good and evil in themselves. Their faith says to them that they have the earnest of this which is promised to be manifested in them. And then they walk towards that faith, knowing that what the Lord has promised, He will completely perform. Many of the Sonship Company have fallen away into thinking that by simply believing it, then it is. So many have fallen into the proclamation of that which they claim is truth, when in fact we are still on a journey towards that truth, that the full measure of the Lord will be found in us in completion, with no part lacking or no duality or condition of flesh remaining upon us. The overcomer reckons their flesh life dead, but then walks that out day by day, making it a reality. They have come to a place where this is clearly defined, that they know they are of the Spirit, begotten of the life of Christ, not the flesh, or of their life in the world. They do not purposely abide in the deadened realms of that which Christ put to death upon the cross. Instead, they walk in that newness of life, reckoning that they are dead, and their life is hid with Christ in God. They see themselves as a new creation, and as a new creation which will emerge without measure upon them at the Lord's appointed time. At the same time, however, they put to death daily all that would oppose the Lord in them. This is not done consciously, but progressively, as one learns to abide in the Lord and in the fellowship that only He can give. The purpose of this writing is to reveal that the person of the Lord, in His full power and resurrection glory, is in you, and that we must of necessity guard our hearts because He is there. We must not take unto ourselves anything of the doctrines or spirits of man in religious effort to try to persuade the Lord to be more than He already is in us. By that I mean that we do not bring Him down to our earthly level, and we do not bring ourselves up to His spiritual level. I'll say that again. By that I mean that we do not bring Him down to our earthly level, and we do not bring ourselves up to His spiritual level. We learn to discern the difference. We learn that we are seated with Him in heavenly places, but we also learn to die daily. Both must work in us at the very same time. And this, as I have just said, is not a conscious working we do, but simply a forward walk, a placing of our feet one in front of the other, day by day, until the course of our faith stands completed. We bear the armor of the Spirit, and having done all, stand. But at the same time, we bear the armor of the Spirit and fight a good warfare. Both must work together. Deception comes when one stops working with the other, when a sense of completeness becomes our only doctrine, that nothing more needs be added to our faith. Then we fall short and find ourselves lacking in delusion. Such is the peril of this hour. There have been some who have been angry with me that I do not proclaim that we are now already in that perfected state. And there have been some angry with me that I say we must still daily bear our crosses. The truth is that we are yet in the throes of laying down our own lives to exchange them for His. This is not yet stopped in us. It is so vital to know these things. The overcomer endures all the fire that the Lord has to give them. They take all that fire, all that judgment, and all that the Lord would scourge in them, and then they set themselves to the task at hand of rising above all that is fleshly or ungodly in their lives to become holy and perfect. This is truth. The fire of the Lord increases in you only to make you holy and to perfect your walk. It is laid upon you from His fiery supply so that you can rise above the beast in you which is your carnal earthly nature, and stand complete in him upon the sea of glass mingled with fire, singing the true proclamation of his everlasting kingdom, that no nation, far or near, will be outside of his perfect love and salvation. This rising, this overcoming, this endurance of the fire and the testing daily is to make you holy in your daily walk. For the Lord is going to appear in a holy people, a people who have laid down their will for his will and his life in exchange entirely for their own. There are a people, a company, who the Lord shall appear in. These shall be completely holy. Nothing outside the nature of their Father will be in this people. They will look and be one with the family of the Lord, the family of overcomers. Holy? How can I be holy, you ask? It is happening right before your eyes. Right now, perhaps, you disqualify yourself because you see so many lacks, so many shortfalls, so many things that are unholy in you. Those things, dear reader, have the fire applied to them. They are being judged in you right now. The areas of your shortfall, however, are not causing your feet to be aligned outside of his will. Your steps are being ordered of the Lord daily, and you are not being defiled with all these around your life who have gone off into wild tangents and New Age deceptions. No, instead, you are guarding that treasure you hold in your earthen vessel, the Christ in you, even if you are not aware of it. You are not following hard after cunningly devised fables and vain oppositions and quirky doctrines and expressions. Instead, you are keeping yourselves and setting yourselves daily in the sight of the Lord as those who are waiting for his full process to be completed in them. These ones are in this world, very much a part of it, but the world disgusts them. They do not like their life in this world, and they do not see that anything outside of the kingdom of God can have any value at all. It is in these that the fire is finishing its deepest burn. They are being torched to the core. Nothing in their soul is escaping the raging flames, which are seeking out every bit of stubble to burn. And these who are enduring this live in real hope, this keeping of the Christ in you, guarding him there as he who indwells your very life. It is a holy act. This may be hard to believe, but believe it, because the word of God is true. The Lord is perfecting that which concerns you, and your time of trial is near completion. That would almost be unreal to have the Lord say that your course is completed, wouldn't it? He is about to speak forth those very words to you. Know this, dear reader of these pages. The Lord is about to be seen in you in an unbounded measure, so much so that you will need a glorified body to contain this. The hope of many generations is abiding upon this generation, that the Lord is about to come in the full majesty of his splendor and glory in absolute holiness, and he will be seen in the overcoming company. And you, dear reader, in spite of perhaps only seeing your own flesh, are part of this. He is rising, dear ones. Every single nation on earth now, and all the nations that once lived but are now extinct, all of these will see the brightness of his rising. He is rising in you, dear saint of the Lord, you whose brow is covered in the heat of daily trial and long temptation. He is rising in you and will be seen in you and upon you and through you. And when all nations past and present see this, they will only see Jesus. He will be revealed in you. And that revealing in you will destroy completely all of the Antichrist spirit that remains in this world. The entire world of men, all creation, will then enter the bright new day of the kingdom of God in the earth. What an honor we have at being called the people of the Lord. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.